of that 590 show coming at you right now on 590 The Fan. 105.7 HD2 FM and InsideSTL.com. Matt Berger and Matt Rocchio behind the microphones. John Giamatti Rudolph behind the dials. Joining us, though, right now on the Bellman Automotive phone line is the editor of Yahoo's Ball Don't Lie. You can follow him on Twitter at KDonHoops, Kelly Dwyer. Kelly, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Good. Thank you so much for making time for us. I know you probably don't get a lot of calls from St. Louis radio stations to talk NBA, but believe it or not, there is a bigger NBA fan base than what people think.
Hey, you know, last time I was on radio talking to them, I think they're trying to move the Grizzlies down there, and I was 20 years old, so I'm welcome. I'm thankful for the opportunity. Hello, Missouri. Let's talk some 19-point basketball games.
The NBA playoffs this year, they've really been really bad because there's been a lot of blowouts, and I think a lot of it is because we know what's going to happen. It's going to be Cavaliers. It's going to be Warriors Part 3, and the rest of this just seems like kind of an unwanted distraction.
I mean, I don't mind it being. I don't mind what's going on, knowing what's going on June 14th or whatever. I didn't mind that last July 5th when we kind of settled into the Kevin Durant thing, and I certainly don't mind it right now. What I would like is to tune into a Wizards Celtics game or to go to a Boston Chicago game and have it stay within 20 points. I'd like
yeah.
it to be not over in the first quarter. I don't see Golden State and Cleveland doesn't have anything to do with Washington not showing up on the road and you know all these. These 21-point games. So, I don't mind Cleveland Golden State as long as I get a good month and a half before that, and not so much so far.
I saw this amazing stat yesterday that the Golden State Warriors have spent more time ahead by 20 points than being down by any margin in these playoffs so far this year. That is tremendous.
It's expected. The Cavaliers have lost something like 10 quarters, and I think they've lost them by like maybe like 30 points total or something. It's just been completely one-sided. Golden State, we should expect, because they've been a top-five team, top-three team on both sides of the ball all year, and Cleveland has just flipped the switch, and they've played two teams that just, fit right into their defensive schemes, whatever they might be. We're watching brilliance. It's just, I'd like a little bit more on the fringes to make this more palatable.
Despite them playing some teams that are right there in their defensive wheelhouse, the Cavaliers still putting up some defensive ratings around like 110. There are even some lineups with LeBron against the Pacers where they had a defensive rating of close to 120. My bigger question being, is the Cavaliers' defense from the regular season pretty much something that we don't have to worry about? Or are we going to see some real trouble for them when it comes to the finals against the Warriors most likely?
No, we still have to worry about that defense. The thing with them is they luck into these matchups. So they luck into the idea that J.R. Smith out of nowhere turns into this this monster at shooting guard and can take out DeRozan for two games. And the Pacers series, yeah, they were miserable on defense, and they basically flipped the switch every other quarter in that series, as we saw famously in that game three. The defensive issues are still there. They're still going to make Tristan Thompson work way too hard, and they still have all the frustrations that dotted February and March for this team are still there. The issue is they have plenty of time to rest and plenty of space to figure out their opponent. And the time between these 12 or 16 games they're going to play between April 17th and June 15th or whatever it is.
What, in your opinion, changed from last year's finals to this year? Was there some kind of change? Was it Matthew Dellavedova moving away, so their perimeter defense got weakened, so therefore it weakened everything? Or was the great play of Kevin Love on that one possession against Steph Curry and Tristan Thompson's offensive rebounding against the Warriors last year, did that just mask the defensive problems of the Cavaliers in last year's finals?
Yeah, I mean, when you have LeBron putting up lines like he did, and when you're able to still crank out these crazy over the top offensive ratings that would be tops in the league, only second to Golden State, you can get away with it. No, they've always been this sort of let's get it to June and load in sort of team. They were always going to have to be fantastic offensively and hope to be mediocre defensively, and they didn't even get there that year. That's what they're hoping for against Golden State. But again, it's Golden State. They play this team a trillion times at this point. These defensive issues may not matter because, like you said, they can just unleash Tristan Thompson and hope J.R. Smith is awake enough to follow Klay Thompson all around and hope that Kevin Love doesn't self-destruct. And then out of nowhere, you have this you know, Karl Malone meets Bill Russell type to kind of steady things down. So that's the hope again, but they're, you know, you can't rely on the Cavaliers at all.
And I think I read something earlier, too, that if this Cavaliers team were to win a title this year, that they would have basically statistically the poorest defense in NBA history to win the title because every single one of their defensive metrics are in the 20s.
Oh, yeah. It's the worst. The last one was the 2001 Lakers, and you could tell even before the playoffs started, they were an entirely different team. They got Derek Fisher. Back toward the end of the year, Ron Harper got healthy, and they actually just started playing defense again. And the other team, I believe, was the 95 Rockets, and that was an entirely different team because they picked up Clyde Drexler late in the season, and they had some issues up in the front court. But, yeah, those are teams that were just basically, you know, put together. The Cavs, you know, despite LeBron's, kvetching all year, you know, they didn't really have a lot of roster shakeup throughout the year. They're just a bad defensive team that, you know, is just riding this guy at his absolute peak.
We are watching right now Game 6 between the San Antonio Spurs and the Houston Rockets in Houston. Spurs forward Kawhi Leonard has been ruled out. He is not playing in this game with a left ankle injury, even though that he insisted Kawhi Leonard insisted that he would play. Do you think that, and I know Greg Popovich, there's history of him resting his players before in big starts. Do you think Popovich is maybe making a mistake here and not playing Kawhi Leonard if he thinks that he could play Game 7?
It's Pop. He's been there since 1997 on the sideline, and if they go down in seven games, then I can't imagine anyone's gonna, you know, no one talks about Roy Hibbert being taken out for the last play against Miami a couple years. Coaches are so good these days that it doesn't feel like it is in other sports where you can just lock in on these one sort of things to take it away. So if Houston comes back, I mean, you can blame him, but you'd also have to anticipate that Kawhi Leonard on one leg would come out and make a huge difference in the Rockets gym tonight. And I don't know if that's a guarantee.
Kelly Dwyer, the editor of Yahoo's Balls Don't Lie, is joining us right now on the Bellman Automotive phone line. You can follow him on Twitter at KDonHoops. Between the Rockets and the Spurs, who do you see giving Golden State the biggest test in the Western Conference Finals?
It's two different ways. It's got to be the Rockets at this point without Tony Parker around. It's sort of, you know, I'm not Parker's biggest fan at his age, and the Spurs were, you know, better with him. But without him out there to just sort of settle things down and sort of make those pell-mell drives, you know, as much as I respect the sort of Spurs, it's got to be Houston. When we throw Patrick Beverley into the mix, it just about anything can happen. And if they could, you know, finally get, you know, just some sort of rest, if they could maybe knock this out in seven games and then you know, find some way to make it so James Harden isn't gassed at the end of fourth quarters and overtime, you know, starting with maybe not having to guard seven-footers in this series. Yeah, Houston is a legitimate championship-contending team. I just don't know if that's enough to take, you know, more than one or two games against Golden State.
And then looking at the Eastern Conference between Boston and the Washington Wizards, who do you think is going to give Cleveland the toughest test?
I think I just, like, Brad Stevens has had Tyronn Lue and LeBron in his crosshairs all year, and if someone like Al Horford is just able to replicate this, and maybe, you know, even just for home games, if he can just continue to be that weird sort of, I mean, almost like Larry Bird out there, just hitting 25-footers and, you know, making post-entry passes and just running the show. If he can continue to do that, I think Boston can genuinely give Cleveland a series.
If they were to meet in the finals again, and let's say LeBron, you know, goes back-to-back and defeats the Golden State Warriors again, especially this Golden State Warriors team, which, you know, is just loaded with superstar talent, do you think that this puts them in the pantheon of one of the greatest players of all time, or do you already have him up there?
Oh, I mean, he's up there. It's just how well would he be, you know, would he be surrounded by the talent, or would he be able to perform to expectation? And there were a couple times in 2011, 2009, 2010 where he did not, and there are times where he's exceeded his range. 2007, 2 years ago, and you know, possibly even at times last year. He's already up there. At this point, it's a numbers game, and you have to win quite a few NBA championships in order to topple a guy who never lost the finals. But yeah, if they're able to take down Golden State, especially handily, if this looks like it, you know, this shouldn't have been a fair series all along if healthy. If they're able to handle them, you know, without home court advantage, yeah, I mean, he's at the very worst has to be, it's got to be a coin flip between him and Jordan at this point.
And I would say that other than the first one he won with the Miami Heat, if he were to win it this year, might be the sweetest one ever, too, considering that this was supposed to be a super team. I would almost say even maybe more sweet than the one he won last year, which is Cleveland's first title.
Yeah, he's getting in the way of a coronation, and that would be remarkable, and that would be unfortunate. I think we'd remember Golden State, you know, rightfully for what they were. I hope we're not going to start calling them chokers, but he would get in the way of a coronation of a team that's, you know, won about 9,000 games in 3 years, and yeah, it'd be up there. But that's what you get to say about players like that, is that they have two or three to choose from.
Kelly Dwyer from Ball Don't Lie on Yahoo, joining us right now on the Bellman Automotive phone line. Kelly, I'm not sure who I'm more tired of seeing in the news, LeVar Ball or Donald Trump. They're both irritating the living hell out of me. What is your assessment of what LeVar Ball's trying to do?
I learned how to spell his name 3 days ago. I've thankfully had my...
You've been lucky enough to ignore him, huh?
Oh, I've been lucky enough that the college basketball, I don't have to deal with that until the day and a half before the draft. It's when I cram, and I can instead of having to click on whatever link the internet throws at me about this, I don't have to scout his kid for another month. I hope they make as much money as they can possibly make. And because I don't watch cable TV at 11:30 in the morning on a weekday, day drinking at an airport bar, I haven't come across this gentleman. I just, good luck to whatever team gets him. I just hope they're not in the finals anytime soon and I don't have to cover him.
If you were a team, would you draft him, though, considering how meddlesome LeVar Ball is? Because let's say he goes to the Orlando Magic, how long is it before he is going to, insist on being the general manager, or before he starts insisting on being one of the assistant coaches? Or maybe he's drafted by the Orlando Magic, and he tells LeVar Ball, no, that's bad for, or he tells Lonzo Ball, no, they're bad for the brand, we're not going to go there.
It doesn't matter. I wouldn't draft it, unless he's a game-changing talent, unless he's an earth-shaking talent. He's one of several good guards, and you're going to see several teams maybe not pass on him, but yeah, they're going to decide he's definitely not worth the trouble, and I wouldn't blame him. But he also is going to have absolutely no power in the NBA. He's going to have, again, basic cable at 11:30 a.m. In between Tim Tebow segments. Staying power. He's going to be able to talk to the press and possibly around time of contract extension time get his try to talk up a big game. But the NBA is all about structured contracts, guaranteed minutes, and having to pay your dues. And I hope he makes as much money as possible. But in terms of the intrigue, the NBA is already yawning at this guy.
So you're saying that you think that all this stuff with LeVar is going to cause Lonzo to fall potentially out of the top three?
Oh, I have no idea, and I don't want to know, because that's playing into, I need to sell more shoes for this fellow based on the idea that his son is going to turn into a martyr. I have no idea. As far as I can tell, it's a shot release that's going to get in the way of him being a lockdown number one pick. In terms of him dropping, I have nary a clue. You asked me if I were leading a personnel team, would I consider it? Yes, but I'd also consider the fact that LeVar Ball is going to be pretty neutered come October.
And well, he couldn't sell any fewer. They've only moved 300 units of those shoes, so
he's like 263,
something like that. Yeah, so he's not exactly setting the world on fire. Kelly,
a better Friday than all of us. So all credit to that family. And if someone's like a heck of a player, but if I'm running the Orlando Magic, I'm first of all, I'm trying to figure out why I'm running the Orlando Magic.
I'm pretty sure you just got fired.
Yeah, pretty sure you just got fired too.
Yeah. That's okay.
I'm really not objecting to what they're trying to do. It's just that how they're going about it. I've never seen anybody with just this misplaced sense of entitlement to, yeah, you know what, we're already a brand. Well, you haven't done anything yet. I mean, you've played 1 year at UCLA, and that was it. And you feel like you're bigger than what Michael Jordan is. I just don't understand the sense of entitlement.
Well, we're not used to it. We've yet to come to grips with the YouTube generation and an entire generation of adults the same age as us, is older than us, or whomever, has latched onto it earlier. They demand immediate, instant gratification, and to this end, they've gotten it. But to what end in the NBA realm, I don't know. But we're all going to have to get used to it. It's just whether you're able to check in and check out. And, luckily, I'll be being able to, because my gig, pay more attention to his inside-out dribble than what his father does, but he will be an annoyance, and worse, he will be an and inspiration, but, you know, so it goes. Not too many other fathers rack up, you know, $150,000.
Kelly Dwyer, thank you again for making time for us this evening, sir, and we hope to have you on again during the NBA Finals.
No worries, guys. Take care.
Thanks, Kelly. That is Kelly Dwyer, the editor of Yahoo's Ball Don't Lie. You can follow him on Twitter at KDonHoops. Let's head to that 590 Show Sports Update Desk and Matt Rocchio.
And in action right now, with about 5 minutes left to play in the first frame, the Spurs are leading the Rockets 16-14 here in Game 6 of this series. Spurs going for the clinch up on the Rockets 3-2 across the series. In the Players' Championship Round 1 earlier today, it is William McGirt and Mackenzie Hughes atop the leaderboard, tied at 5 under par. We have a four-way tie for third place right behind them, one behind the leader. J.B. Holmes, Alex Noren, Chev Reavy, and John Ram all sitting at 4 under par right now. And a little bit earlier today, I know all you big soccer fans out there, Olympique Lyon takes down Ajax 3-1, but they lose the semifinals on aggregate 4-5. That means Ajax is through to the European finals. Well, they will face off against Manchester United. They took down Celtic Vigo today 1-1 for an aggregate score of 2-1. That means your Europa League final is set, Ajax and Manchester United. I'm Matt Rocchio with your 590 Sports Report.
Thank you very much, Rock. Lexington Steel texting in, Doug Vaughn needs to drop his diaper and change it. It's full NMS.